This is the Delivery Space podcast. Whether you're interested in software delivery, business change, or transformation, we have some great content lined up for you. We launch into different areas of project delivery and bring you insights and experiences that you won't get from a book. Welcome, it's Nisha and Sharon, and this is our episode on how to build a high-performing team. Happy Sunday, Sharon.
Happy Sunday, Nisha, and happy Sunday, Gary. Welcome.
Hello, how are you? Happy Sunday.
Hey. Good. Yeah, really good. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it, to get you onto the Delivery Space, but we're so happy to have you here.
It has indeed. Yeah, we're finally here after a few technical glitches as well.
Yeah, finally made it happen.
I've been a recruiter for about the best parts of 22, 23 years. I've lost all my hair through all the stress of it. But yeah, I've worked for some corporate agencies and I now run my own recruitment business called Talent Today. But previously, how we met was through a charity initiative called Furlearn during the pandemic to try and help people get back into work through what was quite a testing time and improve people's mental well-being. So obviously yourself, Nisha, and Sharon, you were both volunteers in the group and fundamental to making it the success that it was.
And what a great initiative it was. And I myself and Nisha often talk about it. We've got such fond memories of it. It was such a lovely group of motivated people, because considering it was a voluntary initiative, I think you managed to form some really lovely people, everybody motivated, giving it 110%. Mm-hmm. And it's because of that special group, we decided to get you on and just talk about what things went into building such a high-performing team. Could you talk us through a little bit about the Furlearn journey and what inspired you to start it up in the first place, Gary?
I was furloughed myself. I was doing a challenge on my treadmill and I ran from Nightingale, London to Nightingale, Birmingham on my treadmill. My phone rang and it was my manager, and I thought I was getting recalled from a furlough, but unfortunately it was extended. So I thought, pretty much on that last final run, there's something more that I can do. I came up with the idea of, initially it was called Furlough Friends, but then my friend said, what about, if you're learning something, my mate Chris Kendrick, he always says, you've got to drop my name, because he's the one that came up with the name. He was like, Furlearn. I was like, that's brilliant. It just catches. And then I worked with somebody incredible, JJ Hansen, who works on the branding side. Mm-hmm. And I gave her my vision of, what I think we can do. And we sat down and we worked out pretty much everything. Where do we want this to go? And who do we want to try and help? And we decided that I was in quite a fortunate position to be furloughed. So there was some form of cash flow coming through to myself and my family, but there was lots of others that were in that environment as well that were not in work, that were financially struggling, the stress, insecurity, struggling to sleep, everything, and we're in a lockdown environment in the pandemic. Each week we decided to get different speakers on, and we decided to grow a team of volunteers to really try and push out as much useful content as possible to help as many people across the UK. And there were anybody who was furloughed or job searching, or maybe just a little bit run down and not firing on all cylinders. And I'm proud to say that we certainly improved people's mental well-being score. We ran a statistic at the beginning where we asked for people's mental well-being out of 10, and the average score was 4.4. And there was lots of ones and twos in that, and we were very concerned and proud to say that, fast forward within 3 months, we managed to get that score up to an average of 7.7, which was just brilliant, because it just felt like people had that togetherness, that belonging, that purpose. And some of the sessions that we did were just fantastic. And, working with you guys, Nisha banging the drum all the time, being the project manager that she is, and Sharon, yourself, you came in there with a PMO experience and then ended up becoming our blogger, did that come from? It was fantastic, and we had some massive wins off the back of it as well, which was, I'm sure you guys can discuss.
We really did. And I think what was so special for me was seeing how the common goals just brought very different people together. So again, Nisha and I met through that forum and all the other people. even though we're all in all different sectors, you know, different geographical regions, what brought us together was that common passion, wasn't it? That we saw a need to help people, and that, you know, that need was really strong, and we were all so motivated that we were going to make a difference, and we absolutely did. And Anisha, you know, you can talk a little bit about your experience of it, but for me, it was such an amazing thing that was achieved.
If Berlin wasn't there, the delivery space wouldn't exist, because Sharon and I wouldn't know each other.
It's true.
Right? And Berlin brought so many people together from different areas of work. It was truly cross-functional team. We had yourselves as people from recruitment. We had Sharon from PMO and governance. We had marketing. I even remember for a time we had a pastry chef who was doing a bit of web design on the side, putting our website together.
Yeah.
So it's a truly cross-functional team. And yeah, it was a time of great stress and trauma, as you said, and a lot of uncertainty, Gary, but like that common goal that brought everybody together from different disciplines. There's a lot of love and respect in the team as well for us all to learn from each other, which is quite unique. I've got to ask you, how did you build a team with passion and value alignment like that, considering it was all fully remote? We were all volunteers. We were all spread out in different areas of the country.
In the traditional world where you're maybe working for a company, you're applying for a job, this was people actually saying, I want to help. When you are actually helping people, it makes you feel good. You know, it's a good feeling that you're doing something which is going to create the good of somebody else. And everybody in that group, at one point we had 17 volunteers, everybody in that group, you know, believed in the vision that I initially had and Jade had. And then that vision just slowly but surely, it was changing by the day. The original, you know, let's try and help 50 people, very quickly became, let's try and help 1,000 people. And we went on to help, we helped thousands of people, which was incredible. You know, people then had their own ideas about, should we put in for an awards? And we started thinking bigger. Should we go to the TV companies? And we were on Sky News and BBC. And, you know, it was incredible that, you know, the footage that we, you know, and the coverage that we gained. People who really believe, have a common belief and a care for what they do. It was just fantastic to see people actually just being brave and going along with the vision and what they believe is a good purpose.
And I think you kept the momentum up by getting everybody to meet regularly, to have a chat, not just talk about Berlin stuff, but get to know each other as a team. I remember several occasions where we would just pop on a call like Friday afternoons and just chat through what was going on for each one of us, which was so nice. And it brought us all closer.
It did. We, you know, there was times where I knew how I felt. So, you know, from my side, I was like, these people are helping something that I've created. You know, how are they feeling? At the beginning, you were conscious of not putting your camera on.
Absolutely.
You know, and fast forward.
I was terrified.
Yeah, I know. And I remember having them conversations with you saying, you know, don't worry, you don't need to speak on the next one, but maybe try putting your camera on and just getting used to looking at yourself. And bit by bit you did. And then within probably 6 weeks, you were hosting some of the events. It was, you know, the team meetings and coming up with ideas about painting your face or putting a mask on and, you know, getting the togetherness. But that, keeping in contact with people, but we all individually did it to others, and we all championed. If somebody had an interview, we were bigging them up, and we still do it now in our little WhatsApp group that we've got. You know, if somebody we know is struggling or going through a challenge, we bring that energy and help everybody. And it was just so powerful what we created. And, you know, I wish it could be replicated into the corporate world. It would be fantastic.
And I think some elements of it probably can be, can't they? I know that there'll be different objectives and goals, but what you've spoken about there, checking in on people and just seeing how are you feeling, you always took time to ask us individually how we were feeling. And I think that's such an important learning that you can take into the corporate world. You know, it costs nothing, just 5-10 minutes to ask that question. And you know, in terms of how it makes the other person feel, you feel valued, and you definitely feel like, oh, this person actually cares about me. It's not just work. They actually care about how I'm feeling. So that lesson is something that I, you know, definitely take with me into the corporate world. And also touching upon what you mentioned about me being terrified to turn my camera on, there was such a community of coaching and support and collectively upskilling. So yeah. Where you, Gary, had that strength and that skill, you were already great in front of the camera. You were willing to share your knowledge and learn.
I was winging it.
You were doing amazing.
You were not.
You weren't winging it. You were there and you were willing to share your knowledge and help and uplift. And again, Nisha, you were willing to share such knowledge and uplift. And those are really special things that I thank both of you and the rest of the Furlan team members for, because you've shared your skills and it's benefited me directly. So I have to say a big thank you to everybody on that team.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Likewise.
I think what as well was from the very beginning, it was important for me to share my story. Like pretty much 6 weeks before that, I was signed off work for 4 weeks with stress and major anxiety. And the doctor, you know, being completely honest, 6 weeks before that, I was pretty much crying in the doctors, you know, being told I was depressed. You know, it's still a battle, which, you know, is a challenge for myself with anxiety and things like that, but it's manageable now. But telling that story, you know, I would say for anybody who is in a leadership position, allowing people to feel safe around you and actually say, you know, it's all right if you're feeling like this. I've, you know, given experiences of how you felt. So that checking in really was, because I'd been through a tough time myself and I didn't want anybody else in our group to experience that pain, you know, and that difficulty. And I used to have a saying like, do good, get good. And it's just nonsense. It's not about the getting. Forget that. It's do good, feel good. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good that you've helped somebody. You know, so if you're helping somebody else, you're actually helping yourself. You're pulling in energy, positive energy. And that is something that we had within our group, is that we were just literally just, we were like a force of nature. Yeah. The ideas that we had, the creativity, it was on another scale. And it was very rare to see, you know, a small initiative that could actually, if we failed with something, we could change very quickly and we tweaked it.
Yeah.
And if we had an idea, we'd launch it the next day.
Yeah.
You know, it was like bang. It was so quick. There was no marketing, you know, sign-offs or anything like that. It was, okay, we're doing this. Okay, can everybody get this video to me by 6 p.m. tonight? Yep, great.
Yeah.
And then it was out. It was done.
We had true agility, didn't we?
We did.
No bureaucracy.
No.
It was no going through levels to get sign-off. It was just, everybody agree. Right, go with it.
That's what I loved about it.
I think there's also, you know, Nicole Mapleson, who was pretty much the right-hand lady to me in many ways. Nisha, I'll always say you were the drum, you know, banging that drum. But but if I had an idea of like, I'm struggling to sleep at the moment, I reckon we should get a sleep guru on.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole would go away and go, within a couple of days, say, Gary, I've got a meeting with a sleep guru. And I'll be like, how have you done that? Like, you know.
Right.
I've managed to get a hold of Mr. Motivator. How have you done that? You know, like, you know,
Nicole was a genius.
She
was getting really high profile speakers, which was giving us more exposure, and it was allowing us to reach more and more people during Furlan, which was like for us, it was great. Like, Gary, you would have thought that a remote team that come together, volunteers, after a while, like the interactions between us, the motivation that we have between us, etc., would peter out because people are returning to normal lives. But with us, I feel like we've built like friendships for life here.
Yeah, we definitely have.
You talk about a constant drum, but there is a constant drum already. That's our legacy. We've got that lovely bond between us, and we've got a real support network outside of our day-to-day jobs, outside of our day-to-day lives, which is always there.
We know when somebody is maybe struggling, I won't mention names, struggling to land a job at the moment, or is going through an illness. And, you know, we did a video the other week for somebody, and, you know, that literally meant the world to him. Little things like that. It is a bit of a legacy, which is really cool. And it's the coolest thing I've ever been part of. It's the most amazing thing I've ever done.
What do you think are some individual characteristics that become important in creating teams like Furlan? So if somebody else out there is listening to this and they're thinking, I want to do something similar or adopt some similar principles in a corporate environment, what characteristics would you say are necessary?
I would definitely take people on that have a passion for something. It doesn't mean if you're the world's best, let's say, blogger. If you've got somebody that hasn't maybe done it before, but has belief that they could be the best, give them the opportunity. Let them fail a little bit. Let them, you know, they will run through brick walls for you. They really, really will, just like you guys did. So there's people in that team that didn't have any web design experience, but we put together an amazing website. We put together, you know, some of the best blogs that were being put out there, some of the best content. It's actually just giving people that opportunity. If you can feel that passion from them and they really want to succeed, you know, you can see the belief and they want to succeed. That's their passion, their purpose. Give them that shot, because sometimes somebody's been in that role for 20, 22 years, whatever. They might have just lost that spark a little bit. It's just, oh yeah, it's just another job. But to somebody who hasn't had that opportunity yet, it's everything to them, you know. And when things start going really well, they want to feel that again and again and again. And you'll find that then people will run literally through brick walls to make it a successful position for themselves.
Do you know, you touched on a really important point there. Some of the jobs that I've got in my life, when I've started the position and spoken to the manager again, they've always said to me, you've got it because you really wanted it. They've always said that to me. You've got it over other people who were more qualified than you because you really wanted it, because you showed a passion for it. And that sort of unleashes something in you, right? It unleashes that switch in your mind where you want to give the best that you can give, and you want to learn. It opens you up to learning things. It opens you up to being better and wanting to be better about what you're doing.
Exactly. I was recruiting for a role the other week for a project manager with EV charger rollout experience.
So, all right. Yeah.
Really, really cool, right?
Yeah.
And it was need EV charger rollout experience. There's not many of them people about.
Nope.
So I sent two across with that. And then I had somebody that approached me with passion, sent me an audio message, sent me an email, did everything and said, I don't have this, but my passion is the green energy space. I really want to get into it. He was so well-spoken. I said, you know what? Let's just jump on a Teams. We created a video. I video interviewed him, and his passion came across again. You know, that was, I know I haven't got the experience, but I will learn very quickly. I'm a great project manager, and my passion is... Anyway, Leon, who watched the video, he felt that energy. He felt that we've already got a program manager in with the EV experience.
Right.
Can we take on a project manager? And they ended up doing that. You know, he got the job, and he's now like, I can't believe it, Gary. This is the best role I've ever had. If he didn't come to me with that sort of that energy, he wouldn't have got the job.
Mm.
You know, so it's always important as well to give some. You know, when you feel that passion, to actually give somebody that opportunity. And that's probably one of the nicest placements I've ever made, to be fair, is because somebody that really has got, you know, that their passion is green sector, yeah, is now working,
yeah,
in it.
Yeah. That's such a good story. Yeah.
And it's such a good lesson, isn't it, for others listening, to give people the opportunity. And it's paid dividends, hasn't it? We were all given that opportunity as well. Yeah. And look at what it's done for each of us individually and collectively.
But yeah, the crazy thing is that you weren't getting paid, nor was I. You know, it was coming out of my furlough, you know, to keep the lights. we were doing it for free.
Yes.
You know, and but it's given us all lessons now that we're bringing out into, you know, in my role. I then decided to create a video focused recruitment business because I felt comfortable enough to be on video all the time, which is, it sets me apart a little bit from other recruiters, because believe it or not a lot of recruiters like doing video interviews and stuff like that. So so that side's great. Obviously now you guys have got this amazing podcast.
I love the fact that, you know, you've taken up the video aspect to recruitment, Gary, because that is what gives that level of transparency and openness to someone's strengths. Having someone talk about their experience and getting a feel on video, that's what will never come across on a CV, right? That kind of stuff will never come across on a CV. That passion that you were talking about, and the motivation for a specific role, why they want to do it, what makes them get out of bed in the morning. that is the type of stuff that will come across in your videos.
Absolutely. It does that, but it also as well removes unconscious bias as well. So instead of a CV just being black and white with a name, press play and the personality just comes out.
Right.
Maybe what your opinion, your subconscious opinion of somebody's name, which is so wrong, but it happens.
Yeah.
Actually, when you press play and you speak to that candidate and you hear how clearly they speak, your perception changes, which is so wrong in the recruitment process, but it happens. It's been really great. And now, obviously, Talent Today, my business, we work with some of the best brands out there, which is, you know, really cool. So
yeah, definitely. You've gone from strength to strength, Gary, and it's so lovely to watch the journey as well. I just wanted to touch on something before we wrap up that although we were all working for free, because obviously it was a voluntary setting, one of the things that Nisha and I and yourself talk about, Gary, is giving to the community, you know, and you get so much when you give. So for all the people out there listening, it's not all about just get, what can I get for yourself as an individual. Just think about how you can give and share to the community. And it's like this beautiful, amazing circle almost, isn't it? Because you do get so much, and you know, we can all attest to that. So just think about how you can give, and it might be doing some voluntary work or something like that, but yeah, we all talk about that, don't we, about giving back.
Yeah, we do. You know, I think that there is something very powerful, and you'll meet, and it's not just doing the good, you meet people as well, and it all brings opportunities. It always does. You know, one of my old bosses used to say, and if you make it similar to a meeting, you'll always pick something up from a meeting, whether it's a lesson or whether it's an opportunity. Attending these voluntary sessions or whatever it is you're doing, charity work, you'll meet somebody in life that will just give you an idea, spark something. And there is definitely, you know, a lot more to be said for volunteering. I can tell you now, it's the best thing I've ever done. It's the best thing. So
agree. Yeah.
And some of the best ideas as well, you know, come when you're not sat at home with your bone in your hand and stuff like that, when you're actually clear mind. I know we were quite active as well with doing challenges and running and walking, and that's where my ideas come, you know, is from when I'm pounding the streets and stuff like that. So you know, they're all, you know, at the moment I'm trying to get up as best as I can to see the sunrise. You know, that's it's a really nice part of the day. It sets the day up really well. And I got bought as well. I'll tell you, it's amazing. An acupuncture mat.
Wow. Oh, I have one of them around here. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I went on this morning. I was like, boom. I was like, I've got the energy. Yeah.
I'm going to have to invest in one of those.
Yeah. Sharon, when you're not sleeping so well, right, do you just take 10, 15 minutes to lie back on that thing? And it properly re-energizes you. What I found quite incredible, Sharon, you probably agree with this, and it was a surprise to me when these things started coming through. After the impact we were making, Gary, we got attention from some pretty high profile places.
Yeah, we did, to be fair. But that was all a part, you know, was a part of the vision that was growing. You know, we discussed that we wanted to be on the radio. It started with Radio WM, the West Midlands. And then, you know, before we knew it, we were on ITV, Sky News. And then we had an opportunity. Nicole said we could go in for the Learning and Performance Institute Awards, the Learning Awards. You know, that is like the number one sort of awards for the learning sector, where we went in and we were up against the likes of Fujitsu, AstraZeneca, who had developed the drug for the vaccine, and we held our own in the interview process, and we came away from it thinking, do you know what, we can get something out of this. We actually truly believe that we've got a chance, even though we were against these massive organizations. And we were in for two awards and we won two gold, you know. And the, I forget her name, but she was one of the Strictly presenters. She, with Ed Monk, presented, Claudia Winkleman presented the awards to us. And I can always remember it. It was an online event and we had 17 of us all online and we were going crazy.
Yeah.
We've just won the learning awards. It was incredible. And from that, we had another win as well. Boris Johnson appointed us the Point of Lights for all of our charity work. We achieved everything we set out to do and probably tenfold more. So yeah, it was just incredible. So I can't thank you guys enough.
So proper highlights, right, Sharon?
Absolutely. It was amazing. And like you said, I think we achieved far more than we set out to. So we'll always remember that.
How did it make you guys feel when we won?
Really proud. I think, you know, after all the work and effort everybody had put into it, and you're not doing it, you know, to necessarily win awards, but to get that recognition on such a grand scale. And like you said, to go up against massive companies like Fujitsu, AstraZeneca, and come out with a win just made me feel so proud of myself and each and everybody in the team.
Mm. And we kind of put our own troubles aside and just got on with things during that period. So yeah, I too felt very, very proud. As a collective, it really dawned on me how much power a team has. Because if we had only been going at that time for about 6 to 9 months, Gary, it hadn't even been a year, right? And we were able to get that attention. So as a collective, like how much power you can wield when you come together to achieve that for others, that's a pretty commendable thing.
The power of having a goal, you know, one goal.
Gary, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your learnings. It's been so wonderful to have you here. If people want to connect with you or work with you, how do they best get in touch with you?
Just search Gary Wills on LinkedIn. You'll see me. I've got my two kids in the picture. I think it mentions about recruiter. I'm an IT recruiter, so gary.wills@talenttoday.co.uk, or just reach out to Nisha, Sharon, and I'm sure you'll
connect.
Pass some away.
Thanks to everybody for listening. Look out for our next podcast, which you can find on any podcast platform of your choice. And as always, like, follow and subscribe. Bye for now.
Bye.